Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 4. Vidura approaches Maitreya. Text number 35. Son 4. Atmanam cha kuru shrestha krishnena manasa ikshitam dhyayan kate bhagavate ruroda prema vivala. Atmanam cha kuru shrestha krishnena manase kshitam dhyayan gate bhagavate roda prema vivala. Atmanam cha kuru shrestha krishnena manase kshitam dhyayan gate bhagavate roda prema vivala. Atmanam himself. Cha also. Kuru shrestha. O best amongst the Kurus. Krishnena. By Krishna. Manasa. By the mind. Ikshitam. Remembered. Dhyayan. Thus thinking of. Gate, having gone. Bhagavate, of the devotee. Puroda, cried loudly. Prema Vivala, overwhelmed by the ecstasy of love. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Understanding that he was remembered by Lord Krishna while quitting this world, Vidura began to cry loudly, overwhelmed by the ecstasy of love. Purport. Vidura was overwhelmed by the ecstasy of love when he understood that Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thought of him at the last moment. Although he thought of himself as insignificant, he was remembered by the Lord by his causeless mercy. Vidura accepted this as a great favor, and thus he cried. This crying is the last word in the progressive path of devotional service. One who can cry for the Lord in love is certainly successful in the line of devotional service. Atmanam cha kuru shrestha krishnena manase kshitam dhyayanga te bhagavate puroda prema vivala. Understanding that he was remembered by Lord Krishna while quitting this world, Vidura began to cry loudly, overwhelmed by the ecstasy of love. Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthai Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasatim Deve Gauravani Vijane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskatya De Satarne. Here, one of the symptoms of the stage of bhava is explained, that tears come from the eyes, remembering Krishna. There's a song by Narottam Das Thakur, it's called Laila Samayi Parnarthana. Koranga balite habe pulaka sharir hari hari balite nayane bhave nir. Arkave nitai chandir karuna hoibe samsarabhasanamor kave tu jahabe vishaya charya kave shudahabe mana kave hama herbo sri vrindavana. Prabhupada writes in the purport. In this song he says, Gauranga balite habe pulaka sharira. One has attained the perfection of chanting When as soon as he chants the name of Lord Gauranga, who initiated the Sankirtan movement, at once there is shivering in his body. This is not to be imitated, but Narottam Das Thakur is asking, when will that opportune moment come to us when there will be shivering of the body as soon as we chant Lord Gauranga's name? And after the shivering, Hari Hari Boli Te Nayane Bhave Nira. While chanting Hare Krishna, there will be tears in the eyes. So this sounds quite nice. Now the question is, how do we come to that stage? Is it by accident? It's good not to put pens in your mouth. How do we come to that stage? What are we all doing here? Why don't we just start crying for Krishna? Why do we have these philosophical classes all the time? But the point is that there is a science of coming to that stage. One cannot jump to that stage. As Sri Rupa Goswami in his Nectar of Instruction has pointed out, it begins with engaging the senses in Krishna service, giving up things which are unfavorable for devotional service, accepting things that are favorable, engaging in activities of exchanging, practicing the exchanges of love between the devotees, chanting the holy name purely without offense, and then he comes to the stage, Tannama Rupachare Tadu Sukirtananu Smrityo Kramena Rasanamana Sinioja Tishtan Raje Tanuragi Jananugami Kalamnaya Akilam Itabidesha Sara. Then he tells us the essence of all his advice. One should utilize one's full time, 24 hours a day, nicely hearing and chanting about Krishna. And one should engage one's, in this way, engage the tongue and the mind. One should live in Goloka, Braj, Vrindavan, and serve Krishna under the guidance of the Lord's devotees, and one should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees who are deeply attached to his devotional service. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that generally our minds are overwhelmed by all kinds of impressions. The way the material world works is that as soon as we see something, it reminds us about everything we had done previously in relationship to a similar object. Therefore, remembrance is quite spontaneously coming, and it's all in relation to our past activities. That's called conditioned life. And if we accept in conditioned life what we're seeing as real, that's called illusion. Therefore, progressive devotional service means, first of all, to learn to see things in a different way. It's called jnana chakshus. Udkramantam stitim vapi bunjana vaganandvitaha vimura nanu pashanti pashanti jnana chakshusha. That the foolish, they cannot understand how the living entity is quitting his body or what kind of body he's presently enjoying under the spell of the modes of nature, but those whose eyes are trained with knowledge can see all this clearly. So the first thing we have to do is train our eyes with knowledge. We have to have our eyes trained with knowledge so that when we see things in relation to Krishna. That's why understanding Bhagavad Gita is essential, because it's meant to simplify things. And generally, we don't see things in relation to Krishna, in material life at least. We see things as in relation to friends and enemies, as a general category. This is my friend because yesterday my friend gave me something. And this is my enemy because my enemy yesterday took this away from me. So as soon as we see anyone in the material world, generally we think this is my friend or the enemy. And then there's different categories of friends. There's Bandishu, Bandhu, there's Sarit, there's Mitri, there's a very close friend, there's a relative, a Bandhu, there's a very close friend, a Sarit, there's a Mitri, an ordinary friend, So at least in Sanskrit, there is divided up into so many different types of friends. And then there is the neutral, madhyastha. We can't figure out where the person's at. Is he my friend or is he my enemy? He's going to give me something, take something away. Therefore, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, first of all, jnana vijnana kshiptatma kutastha vijitendriyaha yukti chute yogi samalastras makanchanaha. In the material world, generally we think kanchana, gold, oh, that's very nice. And lostra, mud, oh, that's not so nice. What can we do with mud? And therefore we think that if I get enough gold, then I can become happy, because then I'll get so many friends. And with mud, who cares about mud? No one will care about me if all I have is mud. Therefore, everyone's interested in acquiring material things. And if we get what we want, we become happy. If we lose what we wanted, we become distressed. This is material existence. So we think, we use our intelligence to acquire things and to try to avoid losing things. This is called intelligence. Prabhupada said that one man asked another man, "Are you intelligent?" And he looked in his pocket to see if there was any Lakshmi. And if there was money, then he must be intelligent. Because that's what intelligence is for in the material world. If you have money, then you're considered to be properly situated. But one has to see things in a different way. One has to see that no matter how much money I have, that won't necessarily make any difference in my spiritual consciousness, at least. Whether I have a lot or a little, that makes little difference. Actually, there's probably an advantage of having less, because as they say in English, when you ain't got nothing, you ain't got nothing to lose. So if you don't have anything, there's no worry. And as soon as one gets something, then there's so many worries, so many people will come to take it away, by hook or crook. Just like Muhammad Ali, he was talking to Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, and he was saying that to Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, "Now I have so much money, so everyone is coming all day long, people are coming, just to take it away." And therefore, Sarim Mityahu Dashnina Madhyasa Dvesha Vandishu Sadushva Pitapapeshu Samavir Budhir Vashishyate. That a person is considered further advanced when he sees everyone, the honest well-wisher, the friends and enemies, those who are indifferent and impartial, the sinful and the pious, all in an equal mind. So that equality is that same equality to see the soul as being prominent and the covering of the soul and material body and the subtle mind as being less important. So this is called transcendental vision. This is called training the eyes with knowledge. That the living entities have taken different material bodies under the modes of material nature, dispelled the modes of material nature. They're enjoying, so-called enjoying and suffering under the spell, and ultimately everyone has to quit their body and go on to a new experience, a new life. Knowing that, one becomes neutral. That neutrality is necessary because instead of becoming overwhelmed by thoughts, "Oh, this is a nice person, this is a bad person," which is what material life is all about. Simply seeing people think, "Oh, nice person, bad person." Not so bad. Neutral, bad, nice person. Instead of doing that, to see everyone equally, and then from there, sarabhutastam atmanam, sarabhutani chatmani, ikshite yoga yukta-atma, sarvatra samadarshanaha. That a true yogi, Krishna says, observes me in all beings, and also sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized soul sees me, the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, everywhere. In other words, to see Krishna everywhere means also see how, even in this world, everything and everyone is working under Krishna's direction. If we think, "Oh, here's a person, he's not acting under Krishna's direction, he's a demon. And here's a person giving me something, it must be Krishna's, Krishna's coming to reward me for all my good service, and here's a demon coming to take something away from me." out of Krishna's control. So one has to see how everyone is in relation to Krishna, and of course that's possible only if we have a service attitude towards Krishna's representatives. As soon as we lose our service attitude, then at once we lose our remembrance of Krishna. And instead of developing our awareness of Krishna, we become overwhelmed with the sentiment of the three modes. The sentiments of the three modes are frustration and anger and ignorance and hankering and lust and passion and relief, and from all this hankering and lamentation, peace and goodness. So these sentiments or feelings in the most material nature are not actually very satisfying for the soul who wants an eternal life of bliss, of pleasure, which is love, prema here, viva love. So one has to overwhelm the consciousness with thoughts of Krishna. Vasudeva sarvamiti. An intelligent person, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, after many births of practicing, cultivating knowledge, comes to the understanding that everything is Krishna. That's many births of practice. And it can't be done artificially. Therefore Krishna says, bhavanam janmanam ante. After many births of practicing, such cultivation of knowledge, proper discrimination, Jnanavan means one who has knowledge, mam prapadyate. Finally he surrenders to me. Vasudeva sarvamiti, sura mahatma sudurlava. Knowing well that Krishna is everything. So what does that mean? That means that, whether we can understand it or not, or accept it, that Krishna says surrender to me means surrender to Krishna and all his different aspects. Not that I'm fanning Krishna in the as a deity in the temple and stepping on his foot at the same time. In other words, as Śrīla Viśvanātha Chakravarti Thakura has explained, and Śrīla Jīva Goswami, that one who worships the deity in the temple but neglects to honor the deity who's in everyone's heart, then his worship of the deity in the temple is a waste of time. Get the right words here, so. This is the Prabhupada. Abhijananti mamudha. This is Viśvanātha Chakravarti Thakura. Instead of following interpretation of unauthorized persons who deride Krishna, Vaishnava acharyas like Jiva Goswami and Viśvanātha Chakravarti Thakura. Jiva Goswami commenting on this verse, that's the Abhijananti Mamudha verse 9-11, says that Krishna, his plenary expansion as Paramatma, is situated in the moving and the non-moving living entities as the super soul. So any neophyte who simply gives his attention to the Archimurti, the form of the Supreme Lord in the temple, and does not respect other living entities, is uselessly worshipping the form of the Lord in the temple. And this is Viśvanātha Chakravarti Thakura. The neophyte devotee gives more attention to the deity in the temple than to other devotees, so Viśvanātha Chakravarti Thakura warns that this sort of mentality should be corrected. Devotees should see that because Krishna is present and everyone's heart is Paramatma, every body is the embodiment or the temple of the Supreme Lord. So as one offers respect to the temple of the Lord, one should similarly properly respect each and every body in which the Paramatma dwells. Therefore, everyone should therefore be given proper respect and should not be neglected. In other words, if we really want to become overwhelmed with Krishna consciousness, we have to be expert devotees even in this world. Not that I'm going back to the spiritual world by stepping on the heads of all the devotees. No, one has to become a humble servant, first of all, of the devotees. Therefore it is said, Amadi Dvam, Adambi Dvam, ahimsa shanti arjava. That, first of all, amadivam, humility. And the next one, adambivam, pridelessness. These are the things that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advises to cultivate. Trinad api sunichena tara iva sahishnuna amanina maridinena kirtiniya sadahari. That one has to become humble like the straw in the street. So this takes knowledge. It takes practice. It takes experience. It takes ultimately the mercy of the super soul to reveal reality to us, so that these things become easily understood, accepted. But in any case, if one practices that under the guidance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his representatives, then the result is that one is able to maintain one's vision of Krishna in all circumstances. One doesn't forget Krishna because one sees Krishna everywhere. And as soon as one thinks that there is something other than Krishna, then, of course, one will forget Krishna. And as soon as one forgets that one is the servant of Krishna and the servant of the servants of Krishna, then, of course, one will forget Krishna. Therefore, Rupa Goswami stressed, Dadati prati grinati guyam akyati prichyati bhunte bojayate shaiva shadvidam prati lakshana. That our advancement of Krishna consciousness is nourished by becoming more absorbed and more expert in the loving exchanges between the devotees. Of course, it's not only that there is devotees in the material world, but this is second-class devotee. It has to practice like that. Ultimately, first-class devotee sees every living entity he exchanges as Krishna's servant, a better servant than oneself, but at least one has to develop a service attitude as a second-class devotee, a third-class devotee who at least accepts that there is a Krishna, he's in the temple, I should worship him. And now I have to learn how to see Krishna within the heart of all living entities. Therefore, in order to do so, maitri for the devotees, friendship, that friendship means trying to assist them in their service to Krishna. And that may be from different angles, as more knowledgeable devotee trying to assist them by giving instructions, out of friendship to help elevate them, and as an equal to try and cooperate with them, and as an inferior to try and follow the instructions. But the basic principle is maitri, friendship, mutual goal, mutual interest. That is Krishna consciousness, to cooperate. And for the innocent, baleshu means to try to elevate them. That's called kripa. To try to give some mercy. Actually, the mercy comes from Krishna. That is being given out. The soul only has a little bit of kripa, a little bit of mercy. But as soon as he has a little kripa, then Krishna, he utilizes the soul as an instrument. The soul becomes an instrument. Soul meaning the soul, and then there's the body, mind, intelligence, etc. Then Krishna utilizes the soul as an instrument, and through that devotee, Krishna manifests his kripa, which is practically unlimited. The more we act as a transparent via media, the less we get in the way of Krishna's desires, then the more we become empowered by Krishna's kripa shakti, or bhakti shakti. And that bhakti shakti is the method by which the soul becomes attracted again to serving Krishna. Therefore, the second class devotee is one who's practicing these things, who realizes that this is what I have to practice. I have to practice love for Krishna. I have to practice cooperation with the devotees according to their level of advancement. I have to practice trying to elevate the innocent. And I have to practice avoiding the atheists. The atheists are very tricky in Kali Yuga. They're everywhere. They're in our minds. They're on the internet. They're in every newspaper. They're everywhere. So, we have to avoid them. So that Krishna is within our heart, Krishna's devotees are within our heart, service to Krishna is there, and this tendency to deride Krishna, to doubt Krishna, to waste our time, so many different things, one has to try to avoid these things. Then, as one practices in the second class platform, then gradually one's consciousness becomes purified, and one's ability to actually absorb the mind in Krishna increases, and therefore one comes to the platform of Ruchi. First comes Nishta, where one is actually fixed in the second class platform. That is, one is actually determined not to waste time by associating with the demons or the atheists, to engage oneself fully in Krishna's service, in spite of any kind of allurement by Maya. At the state of Nishta, still there's some allurements by Maya, but one is not deviated by such propensities or allurements. And then, as one becomes more and more fixed in the state of Nishta, as the senses become purified, then there's Ruchi. Ruchi means that there's a experience of happiness and taste consistently while one is executing sadhana. Sometimes more taste according to one's intensity of concentration, sometimes less taste, but at least there's taste. And as that taste matures and thickens and develops, becomes more consistent, then it turns into a sakti. As one becomes more familiar with the transcendental form of Krishna and his associates, and is able to feel their presence, as one is able to get the purifying, blissful experience of remembering Krishna, then spontaneously one is able to remember Krishna's pastimes. These things happen just spontaneously and automatically. And the pastimes one can see within and without. It's not that only thing of Krishna's pastimes without, but at the same time one has become more sensitive and more expert in one's Vaishnava dealings. One becomes a more expert devotee, so that the loving exchanges are also there from without. It is not that we can develop our concentration of Krishna within and neglect our service to Krishna from without. They proceed simultaneously. And then, as the mind becomes absorbed in constant remembrance of Krishna in that way, called asakti, then the happiness, the transcendental loving exchanges become very intense, and then one will feel transcendental emotions, called bhava. And this is analyzed in many different ways. Guru Goswami has explained, or Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Prabhupāda has explained in his commentary, that first of all one should give up all material motivations, try and take to the progressive path of hearing and chanting about Krishna. And the first stage is called Shravana-dasa. So Shravana-dasa means that we have to hear repeatedly this philosophy. Maya will tell us, oh, we've understood everything. You don't have to read these books, you've already heard them all. Yes, they're going to tell us we're not this body. We already know that. They're going to tell us Krishna's God. We already know that. Better take some time in finding out something more interesting, reading Time magazine and finding out what's the latest war going on, something new and significant. So Maya will tell us, don't waste time hearing about Krishna. You already understand everything about Krishna. There's nothing new to know. But Shravana Dasa means that actually our goal is to hear about Krishna constantly. Because by hearing about Krishna, then comes to the stage of Varna Dasa. Varna Dasa means the stage of acceptance. Varna means just like a rod. One is actually in the mood of surrender to Krishna. One is able to see Krishna more consistently, and one can understand how Krishna is everywhere in a positive way. One can appreciate Krishna's all-pervasive nature, how he's the super soul in everyone's heart, how everything is Krishna's energy, and one develops more and more affection, love for Krishna as he's manifested himself in many varieties. And then comes the state of Smarana Dasa. as mentioned here, at this, that's when one is coming to the perfectional stage. So smart as one is able to remember Krishna sometimes. Meaning, directly remembering Krishna's form, seeing things in relation to Krishna, and then that's called remembrance, or in Sanskrit it's called smarana. Then one comes to the stage of absorption, which is called dhyana. The word here is used dhyana. One is able to consistently think about Krishna. One doesn't forget Krishna. That's more or less the stage of asakti. Remembrance of Krishna proceeds uninterruptedly. But that's not the end of it. Then the mind becomes even more intensely absorbed in remembering Krishna and experiencing even more intense transcendental love and ecstasy in remembering Krishna. So that's a stage called meditation. And at the stage of anusmriti, which is the stage of bhava, more or less, then the meditation expands unlimitedly, intensely all the time. One is just immersed in an ocean of remembrance of Krishna. Just like Murari Gupta, he was taking care of the Mohammedan king as a physician. Murari Gupta was a physician. He was taking care of the Mohammedan king, and one person came with a peacock fan, and started to fan the king. So as soon as Murari Gupta saw the peacock fan, immediately he fell off the dais of the king and out of ecstasy, remembering Lord Krishna. And then the king came down from the throne because he was worried about his physician's health. So he said, "Is something wrong with you?" So he didn't say, "Well, I was remembering Krishna. I was overwhelmed with ecstasy. He was playing on his flute." No, because he was dealing with a Mohammedan king, he said, "No, I just have some epileptic fit once in a while." But the king could understand, because even the Muslims were quite educated back then, that here is a very advanced devotee. Or in the case of Purindarik Vidyanidhi, when Gadadhar Pandit went to visit him with Mukunda, and Gadadhar Pandit was thinking, here's a first-class sense enjoyer sitting on a silken bed with silken pillows, surrounded by golden vases and silver vases full of all kinds of opulent flowers, and he has a hookah, and he's smoking, who knows what he's smoking in the hookah. He has a first-class sense enjoyer. This is supposed to be a great devotee. And Mukunda, realizing Gadadhar Pandit's thoughts, then at once began to sing one verse that how wonderful it is, Krishna, that even the demon Putana has come in order to give him poison, but he's accepted her as mother and sent her back to the spiritual world. So who could be more worthy of taking shelter of, who could be a more kind person than Krishna? So hearing this sloka from the Bhagavatam, then Pundarik began to roll uncontrollably, thrashing his arms and legs everywhere for hours in great transcendental ecstasy. So the Gadadhar Pandit thought, "Well, maybe I made a mistake." So this is called remembrance. But we have to practice remembrance now. Just like if one wants to lift up weights, become an Olympic champion, lift up 500 kilos or something, become the Olympic. One doesn't start with 500 kilos. One has to start with a certain, 10 kilos, 20 kilos, and then start lifting. So we want to come to the platform of absorption in Krishna so that we can actually cry for Krishna. Laila Saimai. Desiring that perfectional stage, then one has to start remembering Krishna according to one's present level of consciousness. Nor is simply we're trying remembrance separate from the other two processes of hearing and chanting. And when we say hearing and chanting, we just don't mean sitting in the Bhagavatam class and hearing and chanting. Hearing means also, means appreciating. It may mean many things. We hear also by seeing. seeing the good example of other devotees, seeing what's not to be done, seeing practically what's going on, that's also hearing. Seeing through the eyes of the scriptures, that's certainly hearing. That's a more advanced stage of hearing, to actually see practically. So we have to hear and think practically what we're hearing. Now we're just hearing a bunch of philosophy, and this is not for me because I'm not a philosopher. It's meant for some other person. No, there's nothing going on except for philosophy of Krishna consciousness. It's not that there's some book called the Bhagavatam or the Bhagavad Gita, and then there's something else going on called reality. And for those who are philosophical, who have nothing else to do, they can sit and read books. And the practical people who run and do something real, they go out and do things. No, the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, that is reality. But we can't appreciate Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, unless we actually see through its eyes what's going on practically. So that's what the devotees have to do, is hear, but not just hear in class, but actually see what's being said. Jnana Chakshus. Even Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Kshetra Kshetra Gayar Enam Antra Jnana Chakshusha Bhuta Prakriti Moksham Cha Yevidu Yati Te Param. Those who can see that there's nothing but the field and the knower of the field, Kshetra Kshetra Jnana Antra Jnana Chakshusha, who can see through the eyes of knowledge that there's nothing but the field and the knower of the field, and who can understand the process of liberation from this material bondage, then they can go on to obtain the transcendental destination. So hearing means to see things with knowledge. And then, chanting means not only to repeat, like we do for the verses, but it means also to put into practice what we've heard, what we've realized, what we've understood. That's the best chanting, or they say actions speak louder than words. That's called become an acharya, not only see reality, but then act according to it. So that's called kirtan. Therefore, our whole movement is one big kirtan. It's supposed to be one big kirtan. The temple is supposed to be, is also kirtan. We may not hear Lord Gopinath's flute. We may not hear the gopis chanting, because they are chanting. We may not be able, we don't have the ears to hear them. But we can see that they must be chanting, and Krishna must be playing on his flute. And they're all very happy. So this is also great impetus and inspiration, seeing how wonderful devotional service is. If we saw the gopis, you know, on the altar, they were breaking bricks. And Krishna was trying to figure out how to make money to support, you know, the gopis. In anxiety, whether he's, you know, then we think, well, I don't know, you know, maybe we should worship someone else. But Krishna is just happily playing on his flute, and all the gopis are very, very blissfully engaged in his service, and the Gauri Taya dancing, and Lord Jagannath, he's just smiling, going along for the ride. So therefore, this is also kirtan. It is also, we can see by their example, the temple, when people come in to see the temple, nicely decorated temple and beautiful deities, it's also kirtan. So, it is not that kirtan is only going on the street. Oh, we're going on the street, so we can tell people, come and see how nicely the devotees are living. So if they come back and they see the temple, how nicely the devotees are engaged in these loving exchanges, then people think, oh, this is very nice, that I should do this also. So that's called kirtan. And by such kirtan, then one comes to the platform of smarana. Smarana means not only remembering Krishna within the mind, but actually realizing Krishna everywhere. Seeing nothing but Krishna, within and without. And then one will cry for Krishna out of, one will come to the platform of bhava, overwhelmed with love. So there's a process that's explained very scientifically. As one comes to the progressive stage of smaranam, up to the stage of samadhi, which is called not only Anusmriti, then Samadhi, then one comes to the platform of Swarup Siddhi. One realizes one's spiritual identity. At that time, one's real life begins. Now we're practicing to awaken our real life, but that time life begins. People think, now I'm going to go back to the spiritual world, and it's all over. It's going to just sit there playing a harp, or playing a trumpet, and kind of being bored to death. You know, I reached the perfection, now it's all over. What else is to do? There'll be Krishna and his friends, and we just do the same old thing every day. Go out and herd those cows. Do I have to do it? Could I get a day off? No, you gotta herd those cows. We need the milk. Oh. It's better off in the material world. At least I got one day off a week. Same old thing, you know. Herding the cows, eating, milking the cows. It's all cows, cows everywhere. Give me a break. I need a television. I need something interesting. No, actually in the spiritual world, everything is unlimited ecstasy, unlimited love, beyond our capacity to even appreciate. An ocean of pleasure. But one can progressively realize that as one advances in Krishna consciousness, then the happiness increases. And so if the happiness is increasing for us, then why should the happiness increase for Srimati Radharani also? Or for Krishna? Not that it's increasing for us, but for them, they've kind of reached the perfection, kind of like just trying to hang in there. No, at every moment in the spiritual world, everything is becoming more wonderful. Therefore, if one is taking the progressive path of devotional service, then everything eternally will become more wonderful and progressively more intent, progressively as one goes on. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Smarana. After, you mean the five progressive stages of progressive Krishna Smarana. So the English is remembrance, absorption, meditation, constant remembrance, and samadhi. And the Sanskrit is Smarana, Dharana, Dhyana, Anusmriti, and Samadhi. Includes feeling. We have to practice developing our feeling. We're not only practicing putting our body somewhere, but we're also practicing changing our consciousness. So we have to practice it. So that's also within our realm of ability. Just like when we're chanting, we can Maya will say, "Oh, same old thing again. Never worked, the last 20 years. Not going to work today either." We go, "Yeah, it's not going to work today. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare." You're right, Maya, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. So we were accepted. Maya just says, it doesn't work. And we go, "Yeah, right. 100% convinced it doesn't work. I'm with you, Maya, 100%. Or then we can think, "Well, wait a second, maybe it does work." We can have a little doubt that maybe Maya is wrong. That's what the whole philosophy, that's why we hear so much preaching, just to develop a little doubt that maybe Maya is wrong. then we can think, "All right, if Maya is wrong, what's the alternative?" Then it says, "Chant Hare Krishna and be happy." You go, "I can't be happy. I'm not eligible to be happy. I'm supposed to be miserable. That's my constitutional position. I was born to be miserable. I like being miserable. It makes me feel good. Actually, I don't want to be miserable, but I don't want to give up the cause of my misery. And what's the cause of our misery? I don't want to give up feeling better than everyone else. Therefore, I'm always constant anxiety how to become better than everyone else. So we want to be happy, but we don't want to give up the cause of our unhappiness. So therefore, we have to give up, develop a little doubt. Oh, maybe it's not so good to have these feelings of being better than everyone else or envious of everyone else. Therefore, we have to give them up, at least temporarily. That's why we chant japa for a couple hours a day at least. And try it out. Try out being free from anxiety. Chant Hare Krishna and not to do anything else. Maya will say, wait a second, this is important. And you go, what is it? And we go, well, you know, you got to do this today. Well, yeah, and how are you going to do it? Maya says, well, make some plans. Well, I'm chanting japa. Well, you don't have time, you know. It's all right, get your rounds done. But while you're doing it, plan out the day. Save time. You got a lot of things to do today. And you go, wait a second, I'm supposed to chant my rounds. Well, I have time. You got to make a few friends. I'll tell you how to do it. Time is running. What about your plans in the mature world? So one has to simply give up all these anxiety for a little while and then chant Hare Krishna. And then how to chant? We're chanting, all right, so, you know, no problem. My mind's not thinking of any, just chanting Hare Krishna. But then, all right, now I'm getting bored. So the next stage is how to increase my feeling. How to chant so that I actually mean it. Instead of that Hare and Krishna and Rama just being some sound vibration that's coming out of my mouth that doesn't mean anything, then maybe I should think, well, maybe actually Krishna, if he's everywhere, I should ask him and his energy to kindly engage me in loving service. To actually talk to Krishna by chanting to him and his energy, Srimati Radharani, and chant in such ways that I'm actually asking them to engage me in loving service. And then I'll remember, you know, if I'm asking them to do that, then I should try and chant more lovingly. Then they'll give me the intelligence how to chant more lovingly. And as soon as I chant more lovingly, then at once I'll start remembering Krishna. Because everything about Krishna is completely on the platform of transcendental love, Krishna and his associates. And then I'll start remembering their name, their forms, their quality, their pastimes, and that will progressively go on. But the whole trick is that at least I have to develop some doubt that the way I'm doing things now is not an absolute way of doing things, that there might be an alternative, and try it out, see if it works. Of course, most of us have experience that it does work, that's why it makes sense to us. But we forget, because we're conditioned, so therefore we just have to try and remember more. That's why Prabhupada wanted classes, regular classes, morning and evening, so we can remember. And then when we're doing our service, we can try these things out and get more practice at doing them. Not during japa. Yeah, well, of course we should plan. We should plan how to chant Hare Krishna offenselessly during japa. That's what our whole life should be planned for. So as Prabhupada said, one should utilize his life, one should plan. This is Prabhupada's statement on planning. One should plan his life. This is 1865. He should arrange his life in such a way. Prabhupada says the same thing three different ways. Life should be so molded that one should always have a chance to think of Krishna. One should always act in such a way that all his daily activities are connected with Krishna. He should arrange his life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours a day he cannot think of Krishna. Same thing said. Three different sentences just by saying it slightly differently. So we should plan in such a way as that throughout 24 hours a day we cannot help but think of Krishna. That should be our plan. So that's what Prabhupada thought was good management. Not that I planned everything expertly and it's impossible to think of Krishna. That's not very good planning. Yes?
Do understood in different ways. It could be understood chant Hare Krishna and try to be happy, or chant Hare Krishna and may this chanting be sufficient for you.
What?
May this chanting be sufficient for you. It means that chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And if I would like to express in another sentence, so I could say that chant Hare Krishna, may this chanting be sufficient for you.
Be what?
Sufficient.
Sufficient?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Or chant Hare Krishna and try to be happy.
Chanting, if it's done nicely, then Krishna will give us the intelligence, the Dhammi, Buddhi, Yogam, Tam. And we'll be happy. Intelligence means he'll give us the intelligence how to chant lovingly and feelingly in such a way as that Krishna will reveal himself to us. And when Krishna reveals himself, then we'll be not only happy and peaceful, we'll be ecstatic. So if we try to we chant in such a way as to ask Krishna for that, we realize that that's what we want, then that's what Krishna will give us. If we chant Hare Krishna inattentively, or we don't really believe it can happen, then Krishna will also reciprocate with us, and Maya will convince us, it won't happen. It can happen. That Krishna doesn't exist, the spiritual world doesn't exist, transcendent love and ecstasy doesn't exist, so how can it happen? It's impossible. All you're doing is chanting and moving your lips and trying to stay awake. That's all you can get out of it.
I'm assuming that when someone has certain mentality and that he tries to chant to be happy, so actually he wants to be happy, but he does not want to please Krishna. So what is the result of such?
Nothing. You can't be happy that way. Well, that kind of happiness is, give me a house, give me a wife, give me a color TV, Jai Jagadish Hari, or give me liberation. So unless we believe that there is a Krishna, there's a Srimati Radharani, there's a transcendent world and transcendent loving service, and through the chanting we can actually enter into that world if we simply desire it, chant to Krishna in the proper way, then unless we believe that, unless we have faith, then our chanting just becomes mechanical or dull, or it becomes simply praying to Krishna for some material benefit. Anything else? Okay. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Over Kremananti.